Radio Pulpit 657 AM, your daily companion.
Thunembe ukuyihamba nawe lendlela yobomi. Hlala umamele, tyelela ku radiopulpit.co.za.
And yep, I think I've won with the technology. Karen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me on your show. It's really lovely to be here.
Oh, so glad. Technology tries us sometimes, but it's never going to win. So if you have just joined us this afternoon, I am having a conversation with Sister Karen. Today we're talking all about, we're tackling rising anemia amongst teens in South Africa. I have given you a bit of a brief on who she is. Now, you know, the prevalence of anemia amongst teenagers, Dr. Karen, has increased, I understand, by nearly 15% in the past decade, so studies have it. So if you can just, you know, enlighten us on what, you know, the contributing factors are to this increase.
So that's a really good question. And I think, you know, when we look at numbers, we're kind of looking at our teenage population, mm-hmm. and almost 40% of our teenagers are anemic, let alone iron deficient. So I always think with teens, when you look kind of three of them sitting next to each other, one of those is anemic and two out of the three are iron deficient. So it's a really prevalent problem. And I think that is really the reasons why it has increased are multiple. And I think there's greater awareness around it. So mm-hmm. more people are being tested, which is a really good thing. So the numbers are increasing that way. We also have a very big growing young population, particularly in Africa. So our numbers therefore are much higher, but also it's a very at-risk population group. So our teenagers are starting menstruation much earlier than they used to. So they're starting at sort of 9 or 10. So they're again at higher risk because they have
poor kids.
I know. I so agree. And then they have these massive growth spurts. So they grow in their teen years, which increases their iron demand. So not only are they losing blood, but they also need higher iron because of their growth. They also, nutrition-wise, are not often as well-nourished as they should be because they're busy. They don't eat properly. They spend long hours at school. Often they're not eating while they're at school. So their iron intake is much lower. Mm-hmm. And then often they're really active. So they're really busy. They're playing a lot of sport. And again, that increases your iron demand. So they've got this kind of perfect storm in terms of putting them at risk for quite significant iron deficiency anemia.
So, Sister Karen, I'm going to warn you. I'm generally one of those people. If I see you know your story, I'll suck out as much information as I possibly can out of you.
Bring it on.
So I'm that curious. You speaking, and I think this is where I really missed it. I should have asked you first, because now there's anemia and there's iron deficiency. Maybe if you can bring it home, bring it closer. I'm layman now. What is the difference? How do I tell that, no, this one is just iron deficient and this one is actually anemic?
Okay. So anemia is basically the end stage of iron deficiency.
Oh.
So what happens is you have these great iron stores. I always talk about it being your iron pantry in your body where you store your iron.
Mm-hmm.
And every time your body makes a red blood cell, it goes to go and fetch iron out of the pantry to be able to make that red blood cell.
Oh.
Now, if you have a much higher iron demand and you're not managing to keep up with doing your iron shop or filling it up from nutrition, you basically land up running low. Your pantry goes empty. So your red blood cells, when your body goes to fetch iron, suddenly there's no iron to take. Now, that is iron deficiency. Now, what happens if you don't have enough iron is every time your body makes a red blood cell, it has less what we call heme receptors on it, because you need iron to build heme receptors. And heme receptors are what oxygen bind to in the red blood cell.
Oh.
So you're making fewer red blood cells, and each red blood cell you make has fewer heme receptors. Your body is carrying less oxygen, and that's why you get so fatigued, along with a host of other symptoms. So really, once you've got to anemia, you actually have gone through the whole iron deficiency and you're now becoming anemic, which is the end stage, as I said, of iron deficiency.
Oh, and you're speaking of symptoms. I think let's get into that. What are the symptoms of anemia, and why does it seem to be prevalent or affect females more?
So again, great question. And I'm going to run through the symptoms first, and then I'll explain why it affects females more. So fatigue often is the most common symptom, and it's a fatigue that is not improved by sleep or rest. So you wake up fatigued, and then your what we call effort tolerance, so your ability to get through a day without being exhausted, is impaired. So when you climb stairs, you get short of breath. You're so tired by 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, particularly our teens, when they get home from school, they actually just want to sleep. And that is not normal. So that fatigue is not a normal fatigue that improves. And then there are other things that come with it. So it's brain fog or kind of impaired mental processing. So where teens as well as adults go, like, I feel like I just can't keep it together. I can't remember things, can't process stuff. School marks often drop. So that's a really big one. There's a big link with iron deficiency and anemia to mental health as well. So anxiety and depression increase. And we often see teens coming in on antidepressants, anti-anxiety meds, who are actually significantly anemic. And it's not saying it's the only cause, but it can definitely exacerbate anxiety and depression. Okay. Often people find their hairs falling out. So they're in the shower, they notice suddenly they've got hair loss. That is a very classic sign of iron deficiency. And then something called pica is a big thing with anemia. And that is where you crave non-food substances. So you can crave ice. People eat ice by the bag. You can crave things like paper, soil. Those kind of things are very classically anemia related. So those really are your kind of common. Feeling cold all the time is also very common. And then little sores in the corner of your mouth is also a very classic symptom of iron deficiency. And then it impacts women more because of, obviously, we have menstrual periods, so we're losing. And then we just can't keep up, because often, particularly in our teens, their periods are very heavy to start with. They're kind of irregular. They bleed for long periods of time. And so that definitely puts us at a more at-risk group than our male counterparts who don't have menstrual cycles.
I've actually never thought about, like, when you talk of these symptoms, I'm now starting to do a bit of a roll call in my life. Okay, what symptoms are there? What should I do? How do I go about checking? As you're speaking, I'm like, I must actually do a check for myself. So how can low iron stores be rectified for a better quality of life, Sister Karin?
Great. So the most important thing, and as you've just mentioned, is actually to test and ensure that you are low, and that, you know, the symptoms you're having are attributed to iron deficiency. And then the first prize is if you are low, is to, number one, increase the iron in your diet, but also to supplement with oral iron. And diet is a great source of iron, but it's very difficult to bring up very low stores with diet alone. So it's great for maintaining good stores, but you're going to find it very difficult to take enough iron into a kind of correct very low iron stores. Oral iron is fantastic. It works really well, but you need to be taking it properly. And so we always advocate around good education with oral iron. So not having tea or coffee or dairy or certain medications around the time you take your oral iron. So you can take your oral iron at different times in the day where you're not exposed to those things, because your absorption is much poorer. And then you only go into oral iron for a limited period of time. So you do 6 weeks of oral iron and you recheck your stores and your hemoglobin again. If there is no improvement, then you need to switch to intravenous iron. But it is pointless sitting on oral iron for 2 years if it's not doing anything for you. Exactly. It's expensive if you're on it for that length of time, and particularly if it's not doing anything. So I think it's a really important thing to remember. Taking vitamin C with your oral iron helps absorption. Making sure your vitamin B12 levels are good also helps iron absorption from the gut. So there are lots of factors that kind of play a role in that. But oral iron is accessible. It is cost effective to pretty much everyone in the population. So a really good place to start in terms of correcting low iron levels. But as I say, if you don't respond to it, or you have something where you can't take oral iron, so you've got a chronic disease of some sort or an autoimmune disease, then most times you go straight to intravenous iron.
I want us to actually move on to the Iron It Out campaign, Sister Karin. But I think at the back of my mind is a question of besides just females, even for a general person, we're included there. What may be some of the causes for us to have these drop in iron levels? Generally, what are the causes? What can I look out for and try and avoid in general?
Okay, so I think number one is looking at how much iron you're eating every day. So what is your iron intake like? So obviously your meats, your chicken, your fish have much higher iron content and much easier absorbed. Your leafy green vegetables that everybody talks about, you're going to have to eat about 8 buckets worth of spinach to get enough of your iron requirement per day. So yes, they're great, but they're not brilliant in terms of the amount of iron you absorb for that. But I think it's our lifestyles to a large degree. I think we lead highly stressed lifestyles. Our food is definitely not as iron rich as it used to be. As I said, periods of heavy physical demand, particularly our teen population, is high. But then there's another thing about blood loss. So obviously females, we have menstruation, but that doesn't mean we're not losing blood through our gut. So for our males, often that's a reason why they get anemic, is because you might have a stomach ulcer, you may be losing blood through your gut. So there are a lot of different reasons why one can be anemic. And it's really, really important that the cause of your iron deficiency and anemia is dealt with, not just the symptom, because iron deficiency and anemia are a symptom, not a diagnosis. So really you need to be dealing with the root cause of what is causing that, and then also correct your iron at the same time.
As you're speaking, I'm actually trying to remember, what is it that my daughter would do when she was still at the NICU, right? No. I think we had just done a reversal of the colostomy. She was 3 months at this point in time. And I remember there was one particular, I can't remember what it is she would do. And this one day I reported it to the doctor and she said, yeah, that's why we're testing her iron levels again, because they're really low. And I remember they gave us something that looked more like a drip that we had to give to her. And I'm trying to think of the symptom now, because recently we're struggling with her grinding her teeth a lot. And I've been trying to think, what was it? What was that irritating thing she used to do as a result of that? Because I'm trying to now find reasons for this. But I think maybe I should actually just take her to the doctor just to check her iron levels again. Because we've had that case before.
Yeah. You know, it's very interesting. In young children, anemia and iron deficiency is often impaired sleep and irritability. And poor diet, or kind of poor nutrition. They don't want to eat. So they lose their appetite, they're irritable, and they don't sleep. And in younger children, often who can't communicate very well with us.
Like my 2-year-old.
Very classic symptoms, of iron deficiency. And so very much well worth checking in any child with those kind of symptoms.
I'm really convinced I need to do that, because the sleeping part is my biggest struggle with that other one. The other twin is absolutely good. The food, both my kids like eating, but the grinding of teeth, the irritability at night and her just not sleeping, you've just encouraged me to get her checked. Now, tell us about the Iron It Out campaign and its aims, basically, Sister Kareen.
So the aim is to really empower teenagers to advocate for their own health. And what we're doing is we're going into schools, we're talking to groups of teenagers to educate them around the signs and symptoms of iron deficiency and anemia, how they can ask for help and ask an advocate to be tested, and then how they can manage it and also prevent it from happening again.
Yeah.
So really it's an awareness campaign, but with a focus on how do we manage it? How do we empower you to manage it going forward for yourself so that you actually have a voice and a say in your own health? Because it is enormously ignored. People have normalized fatigue in in teenagers as that's how it is. You're growing, you're busy. So what? You're tired, sleep. But actually there is a significant impact on their quality of life when their iron stores are low. And so we really are, this campaign was born out of an absolute burning desire to allow teens to live the very best lives that they can and not function suboptimally all the time.
Well, I'm actually smiling, as you probably can see my smile, because Petra Small just sent us a picture of a huge bunch of spinach. And she says, Popeye, spinach. So to get those iron levels up, Petra, you're right. Like Sister Kareen said, we need to get that spinach into our system. So tell us, Sister Karine, how can schools and youth organizations reach you to find out more about, you know, the workshops and tools on offer? Because, you know, I really think some of these things, we get to hear them once off on radio on that particular day. But these are matters affecting us that we need to open our eyes up on before it's actually too late. Because we have this tendency as a society to wait until the situation is really bad.
Absolutely. So you can contact us on email. You can pop us an email. We're very responsive on email at info@inetart.co.za. And if your school wants to get us to come and talk, there's no cost involved. We've partnered with laboratories to make cost-effective testing for all of our population. And then we can guide you as to the best way to manage this. And I think you're absolutely right. You know, we don't want to leave things until they're too late. And there's enormous brain growth that happens in teens for which you need iron as well. And so the kind of impact of not correcting this long term is huge. And so we really encourage schools, we encourage teens to advocate at your schools to say, we want this in our school. Can we get them in to come and chat to us? And it's a non-profit thing. We are completely around just educating, empowering, and facilitating a better journey for our teens who are iron deficient in any
way. Wow. Is this for South Africa as a whole, or are you focused in a particular province?
So at the moment we are based in Cape Town, but it's a South African campaign.
Wow.
And we're actually putting together a almost like a mini movie that can be shown in schools around the country and that can be put into different languages as well. So it really is about how do we reach everyone, not just where we are based.
Wow. Sister Karine, thank you so much for your time. This was really so informative. I learned something as well. You know, I always make it a joke as if, you know, I'm just a lame person, but I get to learn so much as well. As an aunt to teenagers, we're always so excited. I always tell a story of my now soon-to-be 17-year-old niece in August. When I went home and my kids were still small, they're now 2 years, and one of the twins, I was telling you about it, a colostomy bag, she had had about 3 blood transfusions, and I told her of the story and how newfound respect I had for blood donors, because unfortunately I can't, because my veins are just too small. And so I told her the story, and she looked at me, she wasn't even 16 yet, but she was turning 16 soon. She said, I'm going to be a blood donor as soon as I turn 16. On the day she turned 16, on the 12th of August, she ran to Sandbus and she said, I want to donate blood. They said, you're still writing exams. When you're done, come back and we'll definitely take your blood. So these children are really, really optimistic, and they always just want to learn. And I think schools should really open doors to such organizations because they're still excited about a lot of things. Unlike us adults who are always scared to find out the truth. They are more open than we are. Yeah. We just need to expose them to those opportunities. So thank you so much, Sister Karine.
That is such a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Share our passion for life on 657 AM.
We understand that as a young person, you face many challenges that threaten both your safety and mental well-being. And in this fast-moving world, you don't always have someone to talk to. That's why I Am Youth has joined hands with Child Protection Hotline to give reliable and accessible counseling to young people. So send a WhatsApp text, SMS, or call the number 076-037-6345 to get help today. We believe that you are worth it. Imagine a place where young people can get answers to difficult questions, seek advice on issues that they struggle with, listen to uplifting music, and find relevant and godly content that can help them shape their identity. All this while also having fun in a safe space and environment. Well, the new I Am Youth website is just the place where you can find this and so much more. Go to iamyouth.co.za for an experience that will stay with you for life. I Am Youth. Life Explained.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.